The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Just like the NFL would do, right? Open up on a 6 a.m. Eastern time.
In Korea?
Yeah, with the broadcasters at home.
Yeah, can you feel it? It's opening game. Not games. Opening day.
Yeah, there's two, right? Today and tomorrow, and then they're back for spring training.
So weird.
Weirdo, party of one.
ESPN.com groups its sports at the top drop downs based on popularity of clicks. So I was just going to go to the box score. It goes NFL, NBA, men's basketball, college, women's basketball, college, NHL, soccer. I got to go to the three dots.
Or right there on the head front page.
They manually
right.
put that in.
Yeah.
But based on popularity, here's baseball.
It's right next to cricket.
Yeah. Which I believe once they really start, it'll be on that main part. They'll move that.
Yeah, it'll move up.
Because college basketball will be, it won't be done yet.
Weirdly, I don't think these dots are in order, though, because it goes baseball, like all the sports after you click the dots drop down, because it goes baseball first, boxing, okay, cricket, horse racing, NASCAR. Is that lacrosse? PLL? I don't know what the hell that is.
But yeah, professional lacrosse
league. Is it? And then all the way over on the right, like three columns over, is golf. Like, sorry, I refuse to believe golf is behind.
The game of golf.
Golf is not behind the G League and football recruiting and professional. Well, maybe professional. All right, so baseball is in full swing. Not really, though. And the Dodgers are up 5-2.
Four-run eighth. For the hate.
Just
Dodgers.
Dumb, stupid, seeing-eye singles, misplays.
Uh-huh.
The Padres have used, I know we're in a different time. Look at the box score there, Dave. Scroll down, count the Padre pitchers today.
Oh, my Lord.
Exactly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're in their eighth pitcher.
And it was 2-1 until they didn't bring them all in the eighth. They just were in a different time.
Yeah. And honestly, the guy who really has something to answer for is Jay Brito.
His ERA is Brito.
27. I got to get to know these names. We have to talk about them. Johnny Brito. J-H-O-N-Y.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One N.
Is Johnny Peralta also J-H?
I think you might be right.
I feel like it is. I feel like I've seen that before.
Johnny.
No home runs.
Nope.
No. No home runs in this game.
It's the dead ball era.
Really is. Bring back stolen bases and things. So when is opening day? Opening day, for real's opening day.
From tomorrow.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So you're playing two games that count in Korea.
Yeah.
And then taking a week, 8 days off, and then opening day.
Yeah.
That's just
football takes a week off every week.
And lamps and video games use real electricity. What is going on here? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Everything good?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your evening?
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
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 Are you going to do the, when's your next, or are you done with it? You mentioned it yesterday and I forgot to ask you, when is your next polar plunge?
Oh, I don't know. I did that when we first got the pool. I haven't done that.
And that's it?
It was warm enough the last 2 days have been good. Like, I would do it. I would jump in. I wouldn't feel like it would be as much of a polar plunge. Because the months I was doing it, it was, 40 something degrees out, and so the pool's not heated, and yeah, it was.
Another thing I forgot to ask you is, what? So would you just go out and do it, or I imagine that would also be a really fun family event to see Dad out there.
Oh, it was a solo thing.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was no family. No, I mean they
just watching you go.
Yeah. First time I did it was the quick lesson. Like I go, well, it's too cold. I'm jumping in my clothes.
Oh,
that was dumb.
Yeah, don't
because
do that.
The shirt and the shorts stayed. Just I mean, I wasn't cling. Naked. I just put on a bathing suit after that, and you're like. All right, just a bathing suit, jump in, woo, out, and then you're like, all right, the shorts dry fast enough, and then you know you have your towel on, you go inside, you're like, oh, man, I feel great now.
Yeah.
Did you ever do it when it's like pouring down rain?
No, but the one time I do remember was, it was October, so that doesn't seem terrible, but I had already done, I think I had to get to December, and I had already done January, February, all the way through, and it was Halloween night. And my wife had said, hey, did you do the polar plunge this month?
Oh.
And I said, oh, wait. Mm-mm. I don't think I did. And literally kids were, I mean, like it was nighttime and Halloween night. I'm like, well, I got to do it.
Trick or treat.
So I jumped in. And then what I did, I mean, that was really cold that night. And what I did the next day was November 1st. I'm like, I'm getting November out of the way. And I jumped in on November 1st. I'm like, yeah, I'm ahead.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah.
So you did two nights in a row.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way. Don't procrastinate.
That's right.
That's what I tell my daughter all the time. Stop procrastinating.
Right.
She hasn't figured it out.
Right. I think
I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. I think one I was putting it off to. I forgot. Yes. Oh no! I gotta go. Gotta keep committed to the bit.
You have to, and you did. And
I did it.
Something to be proud of.
Yes,
and it felt good.
Yeah,
yeah. So why don't you still do it?
I don't know.
It felt.
It
good.
Does. Yeah. I should. I really thought about it, and I haven't done it.
What day next week are we doing our workout and plunge?
Oh, is it that soon? I have to get mentally ready.
Maybe we wait till it's warmer.
It's up to you. Do we have rain coming in again?
Do we have rain?
Yeah.
Yeah. This weekend.
Ah.
Oh, you can't be mad about that. It's getting warm. I was thinking you didn't like it.
Yeah, it's going to be like our last rain.
Hold on. Oh, it's awesome. You guys didn't let me finish. Yeah, we are getting, wow, let's check iPhone weather here. Props Dirk Verdorn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Friday, 64 and a little rainy, and then big time rainy Saturday, high of 57. So a little bit, wow, we got a high of 59 on Tuesday with some rain, partly cloudy Sunday and Monday. So we got ourselves a nice little 4-day.
And isn't...
Hey, Dave, who's turning 100?
Who's turning 100?
Oh, the weather guy.
I'm Al Roker.
Yeah.
Or who was the other guy? Not Wilford Brimley.
You'll get there.
Today, W. He's no longer with us. Crap.
Smucker's Jars.
It's a W.
Yes.
It's not like Wilford, but it's something like
you're
that.
You're close.
What? Wendell? No, no. I'm not going to get it.
You're not?
I'm stuck.
If I give you the first name, I think you'll get it.
Yeah, no, for sure. But like, is there a hint?
Yes.
Because I know he has like a...
The last name
uh-huh.
is the first name of a drop that's already been played on the show from someone. There's only been one drop that's been played
I
on the show.
I know. I didn't.
I don't even remember playing it.
And then I'm going to say the drop. The game of?
Golf. The last name?
Who says that?
Oh, God. Scott.
Right. And start your beginning. What were you saying the name was?
It was Wilford.
Very close.
Now, put that together.
Wilford Scott.
Now, doesn't that get you there?
I can see his Damian. Bald head. Woody?
Damian.
Lillard.
Okay.
Willard Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, we got there together. That was great.
That was good work.
And needed very little help.
Almost none.
The game of
golf. Okay, well, there's some weather there. That's good.
And tomorrow's the first day of spring?
I thought yesterday. So
was today? Yesterday?
Well, why did I say somebody say yesterday? They were like, hey, first day of spring.
Oh, maybe it is.
Let's see.
I thought it was like the 20th or 21st.
I think you're actually right. And somebody yesterday was stupid. The first day of spring is Tuesday, March 19th.
Huh. I always thought it was the 20th, too.
Yeah.
Especially with the leap year.
Or 21st, yeah.
Hey,
maybe it's because of the leap year. Maybe it's usually on the 20th, but because of the leap year, it's the 19th.
When is the day where it's the summer solstice? That's my
June 20th, 21st.
Other than Christmas, arguably my favorite day of the year.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
Ooh, Thursday, June 20th. Why?
Yeah.
Because you've reached the top of the mountain. Every day after that is shorter. And soon, Christmas.
And yeah, we don't get any of those 108-degree days.
You get a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it's worse when you're going up the roller coaster than when you're coming down. Every day, June 21st, it's going to suck, maybe. June will be fine. That's a popular mistake. Sacramento summer has nothing to do with June. It's July, August, September, and half of October. Mm-hmm. That's summer. That's what it is. You'll get a hot day at the end of June, maybe two, but starting in July, you got 3.5 months of, this sucks. Jason loves it.
Gross.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sweaty.
Yeah.
Lame.
Let's get big sweaty hugs.
Every day you come in here and it's tolerable when you come in. And then when you go outside, it's like a vampire scene.
I'm dying.
Yeah, it's just. Although, is this the first summer we've had the outside be blue instead of white? I wonder if that'll help.
What?
What?
Hold on. Isn't the outside of the building painted blue now?
Oh. Would you? I don't know what you meant. Chris and I were in the same spot.
No, didn't they paint the outside?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm saying. In the past, in summer, we would go outside, and because the outside of the building was this white, I always felt like the glare from the sun when you first go outside is very glary. I'm wondering if the blue will help the glare, which I think, by the way, is a perfectly reasonable comment, the two of you.
They painted the outside blue. What?
You know.
This is the first time the outside will be blue.
That is how you said it.
I can see out of that.
Yeah,
out of context. I filled in. I'm very excited. I don't know why I already crossed it out. I left 743 open, and now I have filled it. I'm actually kind of excited about this. I found the ultimate cheat sheet to the NCAA tournament. Now, we're going to have some amazing guests.
Was it something that I shared with you?
No, it was from a betting site.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was no. Brian Katz is going to join us. At 8 o'clock. As a matter of fact, it's not. That's why I crossed it out. We're not doing that at 7:43. We're doing that at 6:43 because I don't want to go back to back there. See what I'm doing here on the air.
Yeah.
But it has, you know. Here's the one, Chris. Are you the one that shared with me the Reddit thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll read that one right now. That's fun. I'll be careful as I do it. But this is the type of thinking that we want going into the tournament. This is actually a good tip. In every tournament since 2021, you said this to Jason too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. In every tournament since 2021, a top two seed has lost in the first round to a team with a name that might make you snicker for one reason or the other. In 2021, number 15 seed Oral Roberts defeated number 2 Ohio State. In 2022, St. Peter's defeated number 2 Kentucky. In 2023, Farley Dickinson defeated number 1 Purdue. That's 3 years in a row. This year, number 1 Houston faces number 16 Longwood. Will it happen again? Yeah, Robert Stack would be all over this. We will pull out the Ouija board, and we will communicate with Bob Stack during the break. When we come back, it's leading off for a Wednesday. Kings tonight out of the country, much like the Dodgers and Padres. Mm-hmm. Baseball is on right now. We'll update you on that. And we had our first four yesterday. And woof. Yeah, woof, woof. Bracket stuff today. Brian Katz, former coach at Sac State, is going to join us. Katie Christensen, live from Toronto. She will join us as well later in the program.
And Jim Less.
And Jim Less. I mean, honestly, we're going to do a little postmortem on the season. And I think our final visit this season with Jim Less. Yeah. So a bittersweet, a very special episode.
True.
Of the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Christopher Laud behind the glass. We are right back.
Let's do it.
Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Before we get to cut number one, just want to remind all of you that later on in the program, Jason, we're going to have, as I mentioned before the break, Jim Less on. Former Sac State coach Brian Katz, mm-hmm. top brackets.
Yep.
We'll do the postmortem for UC Davis with Jim Less. And then Katie from Toronto. I know I promoted that before, but in truth, what I wanted to make sure of is there wasn't any dead air because I forgot to bring up the cuts we're about to play. So that was my way of covering the silence as I brought them up.
Gotcha.
And had I not admitted that, do you think could have gotten away with it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just would have seemed weird that I promoted them.
Nah.
You know.
New audience.
Great.
From 3 minutes ago.
That's what the numbers say.
Yeah.
Here's cut number one for you.
Fox gives the ball up to Sabonis. He goes back door. Oh, Malik Monk coming from nowhere along the left baseline above the rim. And what a pass and what placement from Sabonis, who now has his eighth triple-double of the year. Oh, my goodness, that was superbly done.
How are you, Jason, with... Now, I know road games are different in one aspect physically because you guys are here in the studio. Secondly, wait a minute now. I'm trying to figure this out. Is... For road games, is Deuce still here all the time, or does he have to go to do TV sometimes?
It just depends on if he's TV Deuce or Radio Deuce.
What if he's TV Deuce? Then he's in San Francisco?
Correct.
But do they... What about, like, do they ever do, like... the little cut-ins, and then he films it here?
He's filmed that here, but that's if he's not, like, the
he's not, like, the analyst.
Yeah, sometimes he does, like,
do them right here?
Yeah, he's done it here or their house. Or their,
I've seen the ones from the... I can remember the ones from the
from
podcast studio.
Set, yeah. So but he's done it, like, in that room before. I'm like, I so want to do a walk-by. Like,
completely.
Hey, you know, just to get in there.
Now, do they send over a camera or something? Or
no,
they have their own setup for that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway.
They're tech-savvy.
Oh, behind the scenes. So, that's number one. Number two, I am curious how it works for you in the sense... With the morning show, that today's game is at 4:30.
It's a bonus.
Like that, right?
It's a DeMontis Sabonis today.
You are arguably, you're probably getting home slightly after a home game would start, maybe?
Yeah.
5:30
for today?
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, today we'll be on post game probably till 7:15, 7:30.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So home and... Yeah,
you're
good shape.
You're pretty much home in time for if we were playing down in LA.
Yeah,
7:30 start.
Yeah,
so the Kings and
so
Raptors.
I like that. I mean, I like to see them in person, but when they play road games, I don't mind when they're the East Coast. Yeah,
and then you got it on the TV right
TV
here.
TV and here
got
the
radio call here.
Got G-man. It all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you ever try to sync it up?
It's impossible.
You can't pause, huh?
Radio's ahead.
Oh, it is. Well,
because
a lot.
I've done that before. Sometimes I like whatever. And people are like, wow, spoiler. Or you see the I'm like, what? Oh, you're here. You're what? I didn't. Never mind. I'll stop tweeting about it.
I am pretty much an evangelist for YouTube TV. I love YouTube TV.
Oh, you're way behind then.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I absolutely remember this. I think this was like last year. I had to go do something, pick up a kid or something during the game. And I'm listening to G-Man on my way home, right? I get out of the car. Grab whatever I had in the car, go inside, open the door. Oh, hi, puppies. Walk into the living room, and the end of the play I just heard in the radio was on TV.
Yeah, national TV is even worse. Like,
really?
It's national TV only, and then, you know, we have the game on. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is impossible to follow because, it's a good 50 seconds, which may not seem like a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot, especially when you're in your backyard watching football or something, and there's, like, the neighbors watching the same game a couple doors down, and you hear them go, like a Monday Night Football game. You're like, well, something happened here.
Yeah.
Anyways, other than that, though, YouTube TV's rad.
Okay.
Cut number 4:30.
Yeah.
And we'll have all your coverage right here on Sacktown Sports. Number two, please.
Cut number two.
Here it comes. Ohtani lines a base hit to right field. His first hit as a Dodger comes against Yu Darvish in Seoul, Korea.
This ball hit almost as hard at 112 miles an hour, but with some top spin. If it even had no spin or backspin, it goes a long, long way. But this one, good for a single.
So, Dodgers-Padres going on right now, wrapping up that game.
Oh, it's over.
Oh, it's over. Excuse me. Who else is playing today?
That's it? Yeah.
The one game?
Yeah, they play there today and tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody's in spring training.
So would it be fair to say the Dodgers-Padres is the sole game today?
Wow!
You know what?
Ooh.
Sorry.
It's kind of... It was a little confusing, though. Chris and I were watching it earlier, and it was painted blue outside.
That's going to be a thing. What I meant in my head was 100% logical.
And in ours, it was about 4%.
I was talking about the sky. All right, so the Dodgers are on pace to go 162-0.
This is not good for baseball.
Not great for the Padres either, who have just been eliminated.
Oh, Mad Dog looks terrible.
What?
He looks awful.
Oh, Mad Dog does look like. You know what? You know what? Oh, dear Lord, you're right.
Why?
Here's what happened. He just looks very haggard.
Does he?
Also, the light blue suit, the baby blue suit's not helping.
Oh, it's painted blue inside.
Here's what happened. Mad Dog had a few last night.
He was up. He loves baseball. He probably got up early to watch.
Oh, yeah.
What a weird thing if we just kind of step back and think about this for a second. What a weird thing that Mad Dog Russo was half of Mike and the Mad Dog, which is, you know, anyone who's a radio nerd knows is the by far most influential sports radio show in history, helped carve out the market, the whole thing. There's documentaries on it. Mike Francesa goes and does his own whatever. They split up. Mad Dog does the baseball network forever. He's got his show and on Sirius. And then somehow over the last like 3 years, old ass semi, and I'm saying this with respect, but just old ass semi irrelevant Chris Mad Dog Russo, who you think is just going to do is, I'm doing baseball, man, and then fade off into the sunset, is now one of the big national TV guys on the big national talk shows. It's kind of a props to Chris Russo, man. Like, what a comeback for a guy who's got to be early. Yeah. Or, well, let's see here. I mean, it's
mid-60s.
I was going to say mid-60s. Yeah. Interesting.
Don't call it a comeback.
Hey, you know what? Salute to old crinkly Mad Dog Russo. Cut number three, please.
Cut number three.
It's embarrassing for the ACC. You're talking about the ACC, a rich tradition of basketball. I mean, this is a Virginia team that got in the NCAA tournament over a Pitt team, the Indiana State team, a St. John's team, and it just didn't seem like they were ready to play. And when you get an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, now this is a microcosm of what Virginia's been all season. You thought maybe you unplug, you plug back in, you get ready for the NCAA tournament. They had four games in a row that they didn't get 50. They had 14 in the first half. Mm-hmm. This is a horrendous reflection of where everyone talks about the ACC. We should get more bids. People don't perceive our league in a certain way like they perceive other high major conferences. Mm-hmm. This reflects on every single other team in the conference. Mm-hmm.
It's enough.
It's a bad loss. But already people are like, yeah, that means North Carolina's out. Why? Or does it?
I mean,
Mountain West underseeded. Okay. Colorado State punked them. But
remember when Virginia won the title?
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes ago?
The year after. Kyle Guy.
Yeah. The year after they were the first 16 seed ousted. Yeah. My Lord. Just barf. What a bunch of lame.
Yeah.
You know, that game, I turned that game on briefly.
Yeah. That's why in our bracket, you get that game for free.
Yeah, seriously.
If you wanted to pick Virginia, well, technically there's no way to divide that up. But now it's Colorado State on that line. So
Virginia finished third in the ACC, in case you're wondering. They have wins over number 14 at Texas A&M. I'm trying to see anything else that matters. Yeah, they beat Florida State.
Meh.
They lost to North Carolina by 10. And they lost to Duke by, 25. Okay. So, I mean, the fact that they finished third in the ACC is a little whatever. They did beat Tarleton State by 30.
Did they?
Yeah, by 30. How about that? No results against Oral Roberts, though. Everything starts tomorrow.
Yes.
For reals.
Yes.
Not, you know.
Yeah.
Not the everything for reals is starts right tomorrow. I'm
during our show too, part of the very last hour.
I'm going to probably change my bracket 74 times.
Which is allowed.
Tonight you have this afternoon, Grambling and Montana State. That's a 16-16.
Okay.
And then Colorado Boise State. That's a 10-10. It's too bad they're playing this game in Dayton because is the Boise State basketball court blue?
You know what? I don't know.
Wouldn't that probably be great? It probably is. Colorado, Boise
State. I'll have to check it out when I go up there.
Flexaroni. Yeah. Look at that. When is that?
April.
Oh, the big April trip.
That's coming up.
Yes. The Masters, Idaho.
Yep.
Chris turned down Masters tickets.
What if Boise State makes a run and I'll be up there? That should be around the finals time.
I would say you're going to have some fun out on campus. Hang out at Boise State, baby. That's not weird. We'll take a break when we come back. Kings Raptors tonight. The Raptors are missing a ton of players. Oh, boy.
Back to the betting tips?
Here we go
again. Or the
road
you said is different.
Yeah, on the road it's different. We'll take a look and let you know what's going to happen tonight as we are clairvoyant and we are the home of the Kings, Saptown Sports.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
I can't recommend it enough, whether or not you're into that sort of thing. I know Chris is hugely into the royal family over in England, but...
I'm into this story.
I am saving it. I watched the penultimate episode of The Crown last night. And I'm watching the final episode. And so Princess Margaret has... I didn't realize this. Princess Margaret, Queen Elizabeth's sister, passed away in 2002. And then I think it's almost exactly 2 months later, Queen Elizabeth's mother passed away. So she lost both of them within... I also didn't realize... we went through it, but Prince Philip, her husband, died. And then she basically died like... 13 months later, right. Which is one of the stranger phenomenons that we see, like longtime married couples. That happens a lot.
It does.
I don't know. Prince Philip looked like he died a decade before.
Yeah, Prince Philip definitely lived a life. That's for sure. He was up there. The Queen Mother was, I think, 101 when she passed away. So
I want to say she passed away like right when I visited there.
Really?
I want to say it was like a month or two after. And they're still talking about it.
Well, they showed yesterday was, and you know, again, some of this is, and we know you listen, we know you love your royal updates. They actually showed, you know, and there's dramatic license taken, but Prince William was university in St. Andrews and was kissing Kate Middleton, who was also a student there, his now wife, which we'll get to in a second. And then
maybe
the Kings. Yeah. And as they were sharing a first kiss, his like Secret Service guy came up. It was like, "I'm so sorry, sir, for the interruption." And William's like, "Can't I have a normal life?" Like that legitimately that happened.
Oi, governor.
And he goes,
your G-Mo's dead. I don't know why he's Australian now.
No, they use code names. So the guy's like, "I'm so sorry, Your Highness. Operation Tay Bridge." And I had to go back. So I'm like, "What the hell? Operation Tay? What?" So I had to go back and put on subtitles, which apparently 67% of what's the group after millennials?
Gen Z.
67% of Gen Zers say that they watch TV with subtitles. Like they turn them on.
Closed caption.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I watch TV with subtitles.
I do quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
What is
for
this?
Moments like that.
I went back and made this up so I could see what they said so I could look it up. And we'll get back to that. But apparently they all have like Queen Elizabeth was Operation London Bridge. And then when she passed away, they said London Bridge is down. And then there was this whole thing that had been planned. Like the BBC and all the networks logos go black. Then the Queen's private secretary informs the prime minister. Anyways, the whole thing, which I'm sure we have similar stuff here for like when presidents die or whatever, but it's really crazy over there. Back to the subtitles, though. So I had them on, then I had to turn them off 30 seconds later. You know, once I saw the thing, I actually left them on, and I was like, "Oh God!" Like the meme of the dude like who's taking his headphones off because he can't stand what he's listening to. That was me with my eyes. My daughter does this, and I'm like, I can't not just read the subtitles. I find myself when I'm watching stuff with subtitles, I'm reading the subtitles and then I'm not looking at the thing. And I feel like it takes me out of the movie or whatever I'm watching, like a TV series or something, whatever. But part of it's escapism. And I'm reading stupid subtitles the whole time. I'm a pretty quick reader, but I'm not looking at like the facial expressions right. and the acting and all that. So I don't.
You get used to it, to doing both.
Like, what about when there's a movie with a bunch of foreign languages in it?
I don't watch those. I don't. I can't even remember the last four. I honest to God.
Like Inglourious Bastards? Did you ever see that?
Okay, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a lot of that is subtitled.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But then, I don't know how much I'm missing of Landa doing the Oscar-winning acting stuff, you know? I don't know. It's just, but a lot of people do this, like forever. So you watch subtitles for everything?
No, not for everything. And part of it for me, it's been an adjustment, but my brother-in-law is deaf. And so, like, a lot of times that's how my wife's family had watched TV.
They always have them on.
And so,
which I get that, obviously.
Where it's tricky is sometimes to have it on in sports because sometimes literally the placement of it is
in the middle of something.
It can be a distraction, yeah. but it just depends.
Yeah, I don't watch anything live with closed captions.
So, like, news, sports.
Yeah.
A lot of times that gets pretty far behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be a whole different thing. I've always wondered how they're sitting there. Yeah. And if it wasn't for that, we would not have Sauce Castillo.
Right. Oh, and you'll get those. Like wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they said, and I don't know what they just transcribed either.
I don't, yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry, guys, about the spoiler alert for The Crown. My bad.
When did they get into King Ralph?
King Ralph?
Is it new?
Like the movie? Is The Crown new?
No, I mean, is it done?
It's done.
Yeah, so yeah. I didn't know if, like, you really...
No.
They've got to bring another season on after everything going on.
So here's what's happening with that.
Then
so
it's crowned?
It is done. It finishes with, Queen Elizabeth's, 80th birthday was the Golden Jubilee, so that was this last episode. And then, they don't even get up to where, like, Prince Philip died. Like, they pretty much cut. That's where it ended. So they don't get into, like, the super modern. They're not getting into, they're not getting into Kate Middleton and whatever the hell's going on right now. But they are in talks about doing a prequel starting in 1900, reigning the four kings from whoever the hell it was in 1900 to George, who was Elizabeth's dad.
Exciting.
But in closing, I will just say this. However you feel about the royal family, and by the way, I completely understand whichever way you feel about the royal family because there are wonderful arguments on both sides. Elizabeth was just a princess whose uncle was the king. And she was in no way, shape, or form supposed to have anything to do with any of that. Her uncle then falls in love with an American lady who had been divorced. And since the king is the head of the Church of England, he can't marry a divorced person unless her former husband is dead, which he was not. So this dude abdicates the throne, right? Forcing his brother, who had none of the training, to instantly become the king, which then made, because he had no sons, Queen Elizabeth, the heir apparent. And his brother had a terrible stutter, which you saw in the King's Speech, the Oscar-winning movie where they went over that, in the middle of World War II and had to, like, address the nation and stuff. And then he dies of lung cancer, basically. Elizabeth takes over in her 20s, finds out when she's on safari in Africa with her new husband that her dad passed away. And then, boom, she becomes the queen. And then you roll through, like, everything about it, how her sister Margaret wanted to marry this group captain, Peter, what's-his-face, but couldn't because he had been married. And so she kind of became a kind of borderline alcoholic partier her whole life who was a little off in the head. And then what happened with Diana. And now that's why the whole Kate Middleton stuff, it's like she's now the prince. People really don't always put this together. Diana's the Princess of Wales. Kate Middleton's the Princess of Wales. Like that, it's a weird thing when you think about royalty and monarchy in today's modern society. And I know I'm totally nerding out here when we were supposed to talk about the kings. And this is what the consultants...
You did talk about the king.
We are talking about the king.
Oh, that's a great point. And now we have King Charles, who, by the way, over the weekend, the hottest Twitter rumor out there, which, of course, we believe is not true, is that he had died on St. Patrick's Day. He's battling cancer, as far as we know. And apparently, Kate Middleton has disappeared And then they, Kensington Palace, where they live, they posted a family photo, but then the AP and a bunch of places shut it down and said, don't use this because it's been digitally altered. It's not like a rumor. That's not a conspiracy. They literally were like, no, this has been altered. We're not going to print it. And then she made a statement, a written statement. She made a statement where she's like, sorry, I get into editing a little bit. Sorry, I apologize. And then I guess yesterday there was a video of her shopping. That was the thing.
The Photoshop is interesting because she studied photography in college and probably wouldn't be making those mistakes.
Or, but wouldn't that also lend to the, I mean, depending on how you look at it, wouldn't that also lend to the fact that she would get her hands into the editing, though, if she studied that? And maybe it just became apparent that she edited badly? I don't know. It's really weird. She had abdominal surgery like 2 months ago. They announced it and said she's going to be missing her events for till at least April. And now there's all, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy whatsoever. I usually laugh at them. But this whole Kate Middleton thing is, I admit, is really weird. Because all they have to do is roll a camera in there and have her make a 20-second, like, hey, I'm good, just recovering.
If they're telling the truth the entire time, something is very off.
That's what I'm saying. If there's nothing really wrong, this is the worst PR manufactured thing in the history of whatever. So anyways, The Crown on Netflix. Highly recommend it. It's very, very, very well done. We'll take a break. When we come back, I've got your NCAAs. We'll get to the Kings and Raptors, obviously. NCAA, this article changed my bracket life. I'm not trying to overstate it, but I promise you, if you listen and take notes, mental or physical, I promise you what I'm going to tell you in this next segment off this article, you're making at least one change in your bracket. I can promise you that. We'll do all that next.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
On Sacktown Sports.
Well, maybe we'll have to, make this a regular thing. Because the reaction on the YouTube chat, tons of Royal Hawk fans.
Kansas City?
Love that.
Talk George Brett.
Just saw this on Twitter real quick. Let me answer this. No, everyone, the video out there of what looks to be like a junior high game where a kid punches another kid is not Draymond Green's son punching DeMontis Sabonis' son.
I can't believe like people were like falling for that.
The amount of people that have asked me on I just had another guy ask me, hey, is this real? Look at the account tweeting it and read it really carefully. It's a parody account.
Well, wait a minute. DeMontis' son
is like two. Or something.
If that. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's not real?
No.
Those kids look like they were about 12.
No, it is 100% not real, but apparently it got a lot of people. All right. Let's get right to it. Get your thinking caps on because I'll thank the Action Network for this. This is actually a pretty good. They laid out, which we will not be reading all of them, 68 things you need to know.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've highlighted ones that I think are quite interesting. A first four. Now, those are the two games last night, two games tonight. A first four team winner has won at least one additional game in the round of 64 in every NCAA tournament since 2019.
Okay.
That's pretty burly, right?
And now, you can probably, for the most part, say it's not a 16.
Yes, because it's more likely the 10s.
Yeah. Yeah, the 10s this year are playing.
In five of the 12 tournaments featuring a play-in, which is almost half, a first four winner made at least the Sweet 16. Two, VCU in 2011 and UCLA in 2021, made the Final Four. And last March, two first four winners went on to win again, including 16 seed Farley Dickinson over Purdue. Both Boise State and Colorado State will represent the Mountain West in the first four. The Mountain West is 0-4 in the play-in. Not anymore. Colorado State won. So the idea there is pay attention for the first few days and consider picking a first four winner to win at least one more game or two. UConn is the number one overall seed. Jason, only one of the last nine overall number one seeds even made the final four.
Wow.
It's been 11 years since an overall number one won the national championship. Since 04, number one overall seeds have made 15 of 18 Sweet 16s, 11 of 18 Elite Eights, and just 8 of 18 Final Fours, just three championship games. The Huskies are also the defending national champions. The last national champion to go back-to-back, you remember?
Duke?
Nope, but a guy on that team, I believe, still plays center for the best team in the East.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Florida, 07.
Beat UCLA.
Since then, oh, I forgot about that. I wasn't trying to do that. Since then, the last national champion to go back-to-back, 07, Florida. Since then, none of them have even advanced past the Sweet 16. In the last 25 years, UConn has made the NCAA tournament 16 times, won the whole thing five times. That's 31%. As a top two seed, UConn is 42-9 in the modern tournament, averaging almost four wins per berth with two titles. In other words, UConn is a top two seed, almost averages a Final Four appearance with only three losses ever to a team seeded worse than third.
But those last two stats kind of counteract, you know,
mm-hmm.
That makes it tricky.
That's why it's madness, Jason.
Good point.
San Diego State's the top seed from the Mountain West. The Aztecs were the first Mountain West team ever to advance past the Sweet 16 last March. Top six Mountain West teams this century are 10-13, and the conference has a losing tournament record as a favorite in their seeding overall, 18-19, but was 4-0 last March. Auburn is 11-0 in the first round in the modern tournament, but just 8-11 after that. They have made six Sweet 16s and three Elite Eights, which isn't bad for a school that's been better than a number seven seed only four times. Nobody cares about Brigham Young. That's not really a thing. As a top three seed all time, Illinois is 16-7, falling well short of seed expectations, including when they got upset to Loyola back in 2021. Drake, though, might be the most dangerous double-digit seed in the bracket. They have never won a tourney game, but they led eventual Final Four team Miami in the final minutes last March. Iowa State, 20-21 in the modern tournament, one Elite Eight, zero Final Fours. They're number two seed this year. Iowa State received just two votes in the preseason coaches poll and none in the AP poll. Not one of the 36 top two seeds that started the season unranked in the AP poll, but finished in the top 10 at the end of the year, went on to make the Final Four. In fact, 15 of the 23 two seeds that did that went on to lose opening weekend. There's a ton of other stuff here. God, that went by too fast. Let me skip to the bottom here because I think this is interesting. There's a metric how to decide that's popular in college basketball, how to decide how good or bad a team is called KenPom. I won't get into what KenPom is, but look it up. Since 2002, 20 of 21 champions started the tournament ranked in the top 21 in adjusted offense, all but UConn in 2014. 20 of 21 champs ranked in the top 37 in adjusted defense. In other words, 19 of the last 21 champs started both top 21 in offense and top 37 in defense. This year, that leaves eight teams. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Marquette, Creighton, Duke, and Auburn. North Carolina and Tennessee just missed the cutoff. Now, if you go with all the pre-tourney criteria, including only two champs over the last two decades, not wearing blue in their uniforms, 2021 Baylor and 2013 Louisville, there are just four teams that fit all of these requirements. The KenPom pre-tourney criteria, won at least one conference tournament game, and wear blue on their uniforms. UConn, Arizona, Marquette, and Auburn. I strongly suggest you look up this article because there are about 57 other very cool, sometimes weird things. But I read that, I'm like, my bracket's done. I have to go back and change everything. We'll take a break. When we come back, hey, you want to talk to Jim Les?
I do
and I don't. I do always, but tough loss.
He'll be
wonderful. We'll talk to UC Davis men's basketball coach Jim Les next.